Good to see you all this morning. Take your Bibles, and we'll turn to the book of Mark, the Gospel of Mark, chapter number 11. Since it is Christmas, we're going to preach on an Easter passage. Thought you might like that this morning. That's not really an Easter passage. It is mentioned before Easter, of course, because this morning in the Word of God, we're going to look at the triumphal entry, which is known by many as Palm Sunday, although it did not happen on a Sunday. But, you know, there's a lot of things that has gotten traditionalized that, we're not preaching on that. If you want to read all about that, Brother Welder's got a great article on the internet that explains exactly the timeline for when all those things happened in regards to the crucifixion. But nonetheless, we're going to look today, we're going to look at Mark chapter number 11, and we're going to look at Jesus' triumphal entry. In the Gospel of Mark, it is referred to as a colt. Now, we're going to look at some other passages in the Bible where Jesus rode in on the colt, the foal of an ass. And so when we say that word today, we are not speaking profanity, as modern day man would use it, but we are using it in the sense there, of a donkey. And so, the title this morning for our message is The Unridden Colt. You might have an unspoken title of, Are You an Ass? Here this morning, and you say, wow, what did he just say? Well, you'll get that later on. And I had to preface that. We did not speak that in profanity, but you say, why did you use that? Because you'll never forget it. It's kind of like a preacher preached a sermon one time, and he said, what in hell do you want? And I never forgot that, and he preached on all the horrors that are in hell. And, which one of those do you want? I'm like, I don't want any of those. You don't forget those kind of things. But man has taken these biblical words and used them as profanity. But so when we use that word today, where it is found throughout the scriptures, but we're not using that in the sense of profanity. It is in the sense of a donkey here. I'm in John, so that's not going to cut it. We need Mark, right? Mark chapter 11. Is that what I told you? All right, I think we are correct there. Verse number 1, the Bible says, and when they came nigh to Jerusalem, unto Bethphage, unto Bethany, at the Mount of Olives, he sendeth forth two of his disciples. And he saith unto them, go your way into the village over against you, and as soon as ye be entered into it, ye shall find a colt tied, whereupon never man sat. Loose him, and bring him. And if any man say unto you, why do you this? Say ye that the Lord hath need of him, and straightway he will send him hither. And they went their way and found the colt tied by the door without in a place where two ways met, and they loosed him. And certain of them that stood there said unto them, what do ye, loosing the colt? And they said unto them, even as Jesus had commanded. And they let them go. And they brought the colt to Jesus and cast their garments on him, and he sat upon him. And many spread their garments in the way, and others cut down branches of the trees, and strawed them in the way. And they that went before, and they that followed, cried, saying, Hosanna, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Blessed be the kingdom of our father David, that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And Jesus entered in Jerusalem into the temple, and when he had looked around about upon all things, and now the eventide was come, he went out unto Bethany with the 12. Let's have a word of prayer, and then we'll try to get into the message for today. Lord God, we thank you for the day. Thank you, Lord God, for allowing us to be here. Thank you for each and every one that has come this morning. We do pray, Lord God, that you might be able to speak to hearts here this morning. Lord God, most importantly, we do pray that if there is someone here that is lost, and Lord God, they know for sure that they're not saved, I do pray that you might be able to deal with that heart. The convicting power of the Holy Spirit might be present. Lord God, they might see their need as a sinner, that they might, Lord God, be saved before it's too late. For Lord, for that one that's here this morning, and maybe they're unsure, maybe they don't even know what salvation is, we do pray that you might also show them clearly through your word here this morning, what it means to be saved, And Lord God, we do pray that you might just continue to deal with the hearts here this morning. For Lord God, for our children, for next door, the junior church, the toddler church, all those things that are being done next door, we ask once again that you bless those teachers there. Give them wisdom, Lord God. Give them simple truths to impart to those children. And may everything that we say and do here this morning be pleasing in your sight. And may you get the glory and the honor for it. And we thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ that came and died upon a cross that we might be saved here this morning. It's in his name we pray. Amen. Now, in your Bibles here, you know the passage. Jesus rides into Jerusalem, and this is before the crucifixion, obviously. Jesus rides in, and he comes in on the colt, the foal of an ass. And now these people here, they gather around, and they put the palm leaves down. So it says here they even put garments down, and they yell out, "Hosanna, Hosanna, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord." And about 2 weeks later, they're yelling, "Crucify him, crucify him," right? I mean, it just shows you how fickle man is. If somebody's praising you today, just hang on, they'll be stabbing you in the back tomorrow. You don't worry about it. It'll happen. And if they're stabbing you in the back tomorrow, today, well, don't worry. They might be praising you in a couple of weeks. You just never know. You know, man is so fickle, right? I mean, boy, at the drop of a hat, he turns. But notice here, now, we know that there was a prophecy that led to this event. Take your Bibles and let's look at that. Let's go to Zechariah chapter number 9. So we're going to go to the Old Testament. Now hold your place here. We are coming back. But go to Zechariah chapter number 9. And you say, where is Zechariah? Well, go to Matthew. Go backwards to Matthew. And then you'll find Malachi. And then you'll find Zechariah. So it's real close. But in Zechariah chapter number 9. Now, you say, how did they know what this meant? Well, if they were a student of prophecy, they would have known that a king would come unto them riding upon the colt, the foal of an ass. And in Zechariah chapter number 9, verse number 9, we see this prophecy. The Bible says, "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem." Why? "Behold, thy king cometh unto thee. He is just and having salvation, lowly, and riding upon an ass, and upon a colt, the foal of an ass." So there was a prophecy about the Lord Jesus Christ, but more importantly, that their king would come riding upon a colt, the foal of an ass. You say, is this the only place in the Bible where this is prophesied? No, I mean, even before the nation of Israel existed and there was a king, take your Bibles, go all the way back over to Genesis chapter 49. Genesis chapter number 49. Now, we looked at this in Sunday school for our teen class this morning, so they should be familiar with it. Philip, would you please stand up and quote it for us, right? All right, now I'm just kidding. Just picking on the kids there a little bit. But in Genesis 49. That's what happens when you aggravate the kids and you forget where you're at, right? Now, in Genesis 49, Jacob, who is Israel, God changes his name, but Jacob is the son of Isaac, who is the son of Abraham, right? Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. That's the way the promises went. God established that, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And to Jacob there was the promise given. But now, notice here, in Genesis 49, Jacob is close to his death, and he's giving a little bit of prophecy in regards to each of his 12 sons, who do make up the tribes of Israel. Now, for the sake of time, I'm not going to have us read the whole chapter. Amen? All right, but look there in verse number 8 when he deals with Judah. "Judah, thou art he whom thy brethren shall praise. Thy hand shall be in the neck of thine enemies. Thy father's children shall bow down before thee. Judah is a lion's whelp. From the prey, my son, thou art gone up. He stooped down. He couched as a lion. And as an old lion, who shall rouse him up? The scepter shall not depart from Judah. Now you say, what is a scepter? Well, you've seen all the kings in the movies about the kings and the pictures of the kings. And they sit on their throne and usually they have a rod, correct? And usually that rod has some kind of an ornament or some kind of figurehead on it that represents their kingdom. That is their scepter. It was in Esther. You remember how in Esther, when you went in, if you went in to see the king and you hadn't been invited, he would do one of two things. He would either hold out the golden scepter and you could come in, or you were killed for coming in uninvited under the king. So that was but this scepter here, notice it is connected with Judah. Why? Because David comes from Judah. David is the king there. And more importantly, Jesus Christ is called the Lion of the tribe of Judah, because even though Jesus was not Joseph's physical seed, Joseph was connected to Judah. But guess what? So was Mary. Mary went all the way back to David through Nathan, not Solomon, but Nathan. So, either way, Jesus is of his father. He will reign on the throne of his father David. So, now, notice here in verse 10, the scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet, until Shiloh come, and unto him shall be the gathering of the people be. Now look at verse 11. Binding his foal under the vine, and his ass's colt under the choice vine. See? I mean, this was prophesied that Jesus would be connected with the colt, the foal of an ass, even before Israel ever became a nation. Even before Israel had their first king. And then in Zechariah, as we already saw, it said, thy king cometh with salvation, riding upon the colt, the foal of an ass, right? So notice here, he says, binding his foal into the vine, his ass his colt in the choice vine, he washed his garments in wine. Now, the colt is the first coming, and the washed his garments in wine is the second coming. But we're not preaching on that this morning. That's what Jesus does at the second advent. But I want you to take your Bibles, because one of the things that I love in the Bible, and if you've been around and if you've listened to my teaching or preaching, you already probably know this, but I love the typologies that are found in the Bible. And the reason we gave that little kind of a quip there about, are you an ass, is because this wild colt, you say, why did Jesus have to ride on the colt, the foal of an ass? I mean, why that? Well, it showed that he was lowly, right? I mean, if he had been rich, he'd have rode in on a stallion. Well, I mean, I understand. It shows that. But there's a little more to it. It has, there's significance in everything that God does. I mean, there's a reason. There's usually a type associated. Now, you say, what is the colt, the foal of an ass, a type of? It's a type of a lost man. That's why I asked if you are one. Because see, now everybody in the building, even if you're saved now, you were one. Right? So you see, you call people that today, they get offended. But I mean, the Bible says it's true, right? That's why most people get offended at everything the Bible says. Take your Bibles, look over in Job. Job chapter number 11. I think it's 11, I hope it is. Have I got notes somewhere? Yeah, it is 11. You got it right. Now, in Job chapter number 11, so why did the Lord Jesus Christ ride in upon the colt, the foal of an ass? Well, it was prophecy. Okay, true. But why did God picture that animal? Well, because that animal will become a type of a lost man. Now, just real quickly thinking. Most of you that have ever dealt with donkeys, what are they? Stubborn, right? And you get a donkey and a horse together and they produce a mule, right? I think I got that right. I mean, boy, that Jack and that Jenny and that Henny and that Benny and all that stuff. Boy, I mean, that'll just confuse you. I mean, go read about it. And I did. I read about it this morning. I wanted to try to have it right. And the more I read about it, I said, I got to quit reading this. I ain't never going to get it right. Just go with what you thought the first time. And if you're wrong, surely I know somebody will run up to me after the service and tell me how wrong I was. And so I'm ready. So, you know, just bring it on. Now, but notice here in Job chapter number 11, in verse number 12, look at this. Hey, the Bible is great. You know, this stuff is just strong throughout the Bible, but look at it. It says, for vain man. Boy, that's an empty man. That's a lost man. Hey, what did Solomon say? He said, man at his best state is what? Vanity, right? Man is altogether vanity. All is vanity. There is nothing under the sun, nothing new under the sun, but all is vanity. Why? Because the book of Ecclesiastes was written from the viewpoint of man. And if you look at this life from the viewpoint of man, hey, it's vain. You say, well, wait a minute, preacher. I like my life. I'm here to tell you, it's empty. Say, how do you know? Because when you were born, you were wearing absolutely nothing. You had nothing. Everything had to be either given to you or somebody bought it for you, right? And guess what? I know they're going to put you in a nice suit or a nice dress when they put you in the ground, but guess what? It's going to rot. You go out of here with nothing. You say, well, I'm going to have them put all my gold in the casket. Well, that'll be real good. At the rapture, when that casket bursts open, I don't know if that's what happens or not, but somebody's going to get rich off of your gold. You know? I mean, think about it. Hey, all them pharaohs in Egypt, what'd they do? They put all their riches and their gold and all that stuff in their tombs. Who's got it now? A museum. You know, people fighting over who owns it and people trying to steal it. You know, and the grave robbers and all those things. You've heard about that. Hey, you know, hey, I'm here to tell you, this life is just vanity. It's all it is. Why? Bible says here, a vain man. Look at verse number 12. For a vain man would be wise, though man be born like what? Like a wild ass's colt. See, Job said, man is born like a wild ass's colt. You know why? Because you're born lost. There's not a person ever been born saved. Say, why? Because you're in the image of Adam. You say, preacher, I don't believe that. I was a pretty good kid. Well, let me ask you something. Those of you that have kids, do you have to teach them to do right or to do wrong? It's amazing, is it not? You never have to teach a kid to do wrong. We got a saying with teens. You got one teenage boy, you got a half a brain. You get two teenage boys together, you got no brain. You say, why is that? Because, I mean, let me ask you something. When you were a teenage boy, you know, and you and your buddies got together, did you sit around and say, okay, I wonder if there's a way in which we could go down the street to that poor little old lady that has nobody to take care of her, and we could make everything, we could figure out what to do for her. I wonder if we could come up with a way to raise some money and give to the poor. Is that the kind of stuff you sat around and did when you was kids? No, it's, hey, you know that little old lady lives down the end of the street? I wonder how we could prank her. Right? I mean, that's what you did when you was kids. Hey, I wonder, one kid shows up and says, hey, I got some firecrackers. What do you think we could do with them? Well, let's blow something up. You know, let's put them in an anthill. You know, and then you graduate to what do they call them? Cherry bombs, right? And boy, they wreak havoc on a mailbox. You say, how do you know? I read about it in a book. Saw it on 2020, you know. No, but man is born, he's born lost. And the Bible says, though a man be born like a wild ass's colt. So with those verses, let's go back to the Gospel of Mark and let's look at the typology found. Because this colt, the foal of an ass, guess what? Hey, well, I'm getting ahead of myself, so I don't want to say that just yet. But you know what? He is a type of a lost person. He represents every one of us in the building. Maybe you're here today and you've never been saved. It's not a pretty picture. But that's what you are. Now, let's look at some of the typology found in the Bible. And the Bible says there in verse number 2, and Jesus said unto them, go your way into the village over against you, and as soon as ye are entered into it, ye shall find a colt what? Tied. You say, well, hey, when Jesus sent his disciples to go and find this colt, the foal of an ass, he said it would be tied. We're back in Mark chapter 11. If I see some people kind of looking around, I jump back over there. Sometimes I forget to tell you. But notice there, it is tied. Now, with that thought in mind, let me read you a verse. If you want to flip there, if you can find it as fast as I can, that's fine. If not, I'll read it for you. But in Proverbs chapter 5, the Bible says here, Proverbs chapter 5, and I'm going to read 21 and 22. And it's the Bible says, for the ways of man are before the eyes of the Lord, and he pondereth all his going. His own iniquities shall take the wicked himself, and he shall be holden with the cords of his sins. You know what? Hey, that coat, the foal of an ass there, hey, when the disciples found him, he was tied. If you're not saved here this morning, you may think you're free, you may feel free, but guess what? You are tied with the bond, the bonds of your sin. You know, every time I read that passage there, I've always wanted to preach a sermon, but I never have, but I gotta go online, but I always think of Pinocchio. Say, what was Pinocchio? What was Pinocchio? A puppet. Thank you very much. And in the old days, now I realize now, we got puppets. You stick your hand in, and you know, we have them in junior church. We use them. You know, I got a sock puppet boy. The kids really like it. His name is Stinky. And then we got another one. His name's Tootsie. You know, we have a lot of fun with those. But, you know, the old-timey puppets. I always wanted to buy one of those. I never have. But you remember how they were made? They had these wooden things, and you put them on your fingers, and they had strings attached to them. And when, you know, and you controlled them, right? You know what that is? That's a picture of being lost. You know what? Satan's got his hands. You know what? I need this man to move his arm. Oh, I move his arms, right? But let me ask you something. What was Pinocchio's dream? Oh, to be a real boy. Oh, to be what? To be alive. You know what? He wanted somebody to cut them cords. And you know what? The ass that you see in this picture, he was tied. And you know what Jesus said? Jesus said, you shall find him tied. And notice it says, loose him. You know, hey, they were that maniac of Gadara, when he was possessed of the devils there. You know what? Hey, Jesus said, you know, loose him sometimes. He used that phrase when he was talking about being released from the devils. Hey, if you are lost and you are not saved, you are under the control of the devil. You're like a puppet on a string. The Bible says, you shall be holding with the core, the iniquities, you be holding with the cords of your sin. They've got you bound up and you don't even realize it. I mean, you ever seen a dog on a chain, but he doesn't know he's on a chain? That's what you are this morning. You say, how do you know when you're on a chain? Try to run real fast in the opposite direction. And then usually you figured it out. We got a brand new puppy a couple months ago. I think she's what? I don't know. We've had her 2 months now. And so I've been wanting to try. I was trying to train her a little bit. I wanted her to stay out in the garage with me. And so, you know, but I wanted to have the garage door up. But our garage faces the street. So I bought me one of those nice little corded, you know, I mean, it's a cable, but it's got the cover on it. So, you know, she can't chew it and all that cool stuff. And so I hooked it around the leg of my workbench and I made a couple of loops so as it would just go to the end of the door. And so I hooked her up, you know, and I wasn't thinking, you know, I really wasn't paying attention, but I hooked it on her and I wasn't paying attention that the cord was wrapped on this side and it come all the way around. And so immediately, once I, you know, unhooked the leash, I already had her hooked up to the cord, but I unhooked the leash and I stepped away and boom, she took off running. But that cord tightened up and took all four legs out from under at once. I mean, it was like, wham, she slammed in the concrete. And she kind of looked around, you know, looked at me, and I was like, sorry. Yeah, that was my fault. You know what? Hey, there's many of you here today, you've had that exact thing happen to you in life. Why? Because you're bound by the cords of your sins. And you think you're in freedom until what? Until you run just far enough and that cord goes, and you break your neck or your legs come out from under you. All those things. Hey, that coat was tied, but let's move on. Look at the next part. He said, ye shall find a coat, I'm in verse 2, tied, whereupon never a man sat. Do you know one thing? I don't know much about mules, or I don't know much about donkeys. I don't even know much about horses. I especially don't know about the donkeys and the mules and all that process and how, you know, I don't know about that. But I've been reading about them a little bit. And you know what they say? They say that a donkey, or I mean that a mule, the colt, whatever, I don't know, whatever this is here. But they say that it's never broken until you ride it. Ain't that what Jesus... Now, Jesus said something there. He said, whereupon never a man sat. See, that's the problem. As a lost person, you don't want anybody over control of you. And that's why most lost people never get saved. You know what? They run around, they're unbroken. They're like a wild ass's colt. Ain't that what Job said man was? See, I mean, boy, the passage here, there's a lot of things in it. Hey, whereupon, never, you know, they said, hey, can you beat one into submission? They said, maybe, but he's still not broken until you ride him. You know what? You gotta be ridden. But notice something here. Let's move on. Now, I want you to see, where was he? Look in verse number 4. And they went their way and found the colt, what? Tied by the door. Now, do you think it's a coincidence that he's by the door? I mean, let me ask you something. How many of you, maybe somebody here today, maybe you got a donkey or a mule. I don't know, maybe you got some horses, maybe you got some property. How many of you tie them up right by your door? You say, yeah, but preacher, that was a little different era back then. They wanted quick access. I don't think it's a coincidence that he was by the door. Why? Take your Bibles, look at John chapter number 10. John chapter number 10. You see, if you're lost here today, if you've never been saved, the Bible says you're like a wild ass's colt. You know what? You're tied. But you know what? Not only are you tied, but you've never been ridden. But guess what? The Bible says you're by the door. Now, who's the door? Look in John chapter number 10. You know the passage. In verse number 6, this parable Jesus spake unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. Jesus saith unto them again, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. You say, well, this is talking about sheep, brother. I know, but he's still the door. You see, even though the colt didn't have no clue, the door is right there. You may be here this morning, you may be lost, and you have no clue that you've been standing right by the door all the time. You say, why? Because the Lord Jesus Christ, hey, He is right there, willing and waiting to save anyone that'll come to Him, right? For the Lord is not slack concerning His promise, but is not willing that any should perish. Jesus said, he that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast him out. Hey, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by heaven. Hey, there is only one door. And the colt was tied right beside it. And just standing there. You know what? There's a lot of lost people one day. They're gonna wake up in hell, and then it's gonna hit them. I was by the door the whole time. They're gonna stand before the Lord at the great white throne judgment, and Jesus is gonna be right there, and God's gonna say, hey, here is the door, and you refused it. Here's the door. You decided you did not want to go through the door. That colt was tied, but he was tied by the door. You say, hey, is there anything else? Yeah, let's go back over there. Look, go back over there if you would. Go back there to verse number 4 where we were just at. Not only was he by the door, but look at the wording. And there went their way and found the colt tied by the door, without in a place where what? Where two ways met. You realize, hey, if you're lost this morning, you are in a place where two ways are meeting. Say, what are you talking about? Well, look over if you would here. Let's read it. We always quote this, but let's read it. Let's see it this morning. Look in Matthew chapter number 7. We're going to come back to Mark, but Matthew chapter 7, you're familiar with this. Boy, don't you find it interesting that Jesus, you say, yeah, but the prophecy was just about him riding on a colt, the foal of an ass. That made him king. That's what represented him as king to Israel. Yeah, but why do you think he put all these other details in the Bible? Because man is born as a wild ass's colt. And without salvation, that's the way you remain. Just a wild ass's colt. And you know what? You want to see that? Go to Walmart. It's about the same, is it not? I mean, I couldn't imagine. Sometimes I go to Walmart and I'm thinking to myself, it'd probably be more sane in here if there was a whole bunch of donkeys in the store running around. Say, why? At least most of them would be gathered up in the carrots. They'd just be trying to eat. You know, they're more predictable. But man is said to be like a wild ass's colt. Now, this donkey was tied. Why? He's held by the cords of his sin. Hey, but where is he standing? He's by the door and he has no clue of it. Hey, the Lord Jesus Christ died for your sins, even though you may not even realize that. You may not even realize your need of that yet, but it's still there. But notice something here. Hey, he was not only by the door, but he was in a place where two ways met. And look, if you are recognizing the fact you're a sinner this morning, then guess what? You are in a place where two ways have now met. Hey, once the Holy Spirit of God recognize or shows you that you're lost and that you're in need of a Savior, guess what? You are accountable, but you also have a decision to make. And you got to make that decision. Why? Because there's two ways at stake. You know, Robert Frost, one of my favorite poems, he wrote a poem, you know, he said, two roads diverged in a yellow wood, and be one traveler long I stood. You know what? You can stand there all day long, but eventually you got to take one of those roads. Now you say, what poem is that? He says, I took the road less traveled. And at the end of that poem, it says, that made all the difference. You say, oh, was he saved? I don't think so. I don't know. Maybe he was, maybe he wasn't. And I don't think that's what that poem's about. But what I'm saying is, it's a great illustration to, if you are where that colt is, you're facing a decision where two ways met. Now, the Bible says in Matthew chapter 7, look at verse number 13. You know the passage. Matthew 7, verse 13. Enter ye in at the what? Straight gate. For wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. And many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life. And few there be that find it. There's a broad way, there's a wide way. There's a straight gate, there's a narrow gate. And you're going to pick one of the two. You can't have it. You say, is there a door number 3? No. Say, why? God gives you two choices. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved, or refuse and go the broad way. You say, yeah, but that's a better looking way. Yeah, I know it is. You say, yeah, but there's more people over there. Yeah, I know there is. You say, yeah, but it's less crowded. And I hate, you know, that's the straight gate. I got that backwards. But that's where, you know, that's where all the people go. Now, let me ask you something. I did this the other day, and I know it's not always a wise thing to do. But I was traveling through Odom, and they had 77 shut down because of a wreck. And I thought to myself, well, this looks bad. I got to figure out a way. I got to get to the other side. And I thought, well, I'm definitely not driving back to Corpus and going to Portland. I know 181 will loop around it, but I'm not going that far. And so I saw a bunch of people up ahead of me. And they're all cutting across the median and taking this road over here on the left. I don't know. It could have been Bob's Road for all I know. I don't know. But you know what I thought? I thought, well, if everybody else is doing that, chances are that's the way to get around Odom. And you know what I did? I went and I followed them.
I did. Boy, I got my truck up there. I zipped around there. I went over. I followed them. And they started getting away from me. And boy, I'm speeding through them back roads. I have no idea where I was. But all I know is, and then you know what happened? Then we got to an intersection, and about half the people went left and half the people went right. And I said, oh boy, now what am I going to do, right? And I said, well, praise the Lord, we're not in Alabama anymore. Say, why is that? Because in Alabama, it's nothing but hills and hollers, and you can't see any direction that you're going. If you make the wrong turn, you'll never know it. But I looked and I said, I can see the water tower at Odom is that way. And I can see some people's going opposite of that and some people's going to it. So I said, I'm going to follow the people going right. And we're going to see where it winds up. You say, what'd you do? Well, it turned out all right. But you know what? Very seldom in life will following the crowd ever get you to the right destination. And right here is one of those places. But you know what? That colt, the foal of an ass, he was tied with the cords of his sin. He was standing by the door, although he knew it not. He was standing in a place where two ways met. And that may be you this morning. Let's go back to Mark. It just keeps getting better. Or gooder and gooder, as we like to say. Now, let me ask you something. Maybe somebody's here this morning and you say, preacher, I know that ass you're talking about. I know who they are. And I've been trying to deal with this person for years. Well, let me show you something that's in the passage. Whenever you try to loose him from those cords of sin, somebody's always going to oppose you. Look at this passage. Look there in Mark chapter number 11, and look there at verse number 5. And certain of them that stood there said unto them, what do ye loosing the colt? There's always opposition. Hey, if you're the colt here this morning, you know what? You are going to give opposition. You know, I've often wondered if that colt just stood there and let strangers walk up to it and take it off and lead it away. Maybe it did, maybe it didn't, I don't know. But nonetheless, hey, the people that were standing by, they said, you know what? That's my colt. That's my colt. What are you doing with that thing there? Why are you taking it away? Hey, you can't expect to go out and win anybody to the Lord and not have Satan be a little upset about it, right? What are you doing loosing that colt? You know what they said? Look up there in verse number 2. You know what Jesus told him to say? The Lord hath need of him. You say, the Lord wants that colt. Why? He's got to ride in upon that colt. But notice here, you say, hey, there's always opposition. But take your Bibles, look down there if you would, and look in verse number... where are we at here? The last thing I want to show you. Well, actually, next to the last thing I want to show you. Well, next to the last thing I want to show you.
Come on.
Look in verse number 7. And they brought the colt where? To Jesus. If you're that colt this morning, you've got an opportunity to be brought into the Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because that's the place where you're going to get saved. But notice something else. And they brought the colt to Jesus and what? And cast their garments upon him. You know what? When that wild ass's colt, when it comes to Jesus, you know what you get? You get some new clothes. You know why? Because you're a child of the King. See, when you get saved, you get born again. The Bible says, he hath given unto us what power he hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Hey, you get a new garment. Hey, that coat there. Hey, they put some new clothes on him. The Bible says in Ephesians, put on the new man that's renewed after the inward, after the Spirit of God. Hey, you know what? If you're lost this morning, you need to come to the Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because you need some new clothes. You say, well, my clothes are just fine. You know what the Bible says in Isaiah? It says all our righteousness is as filthy rags. You know what Adam and Eve did? They clothed themselves in fig leaves, right? When they sinned, they clothed themselves. And that's a type of self-righteousness. That's why Isaiah says, our righteousness is as filthy rags. But you know what God did? God come along and said, hey, them fig leaves won't cut it. But I'll put some clothes on you. You know what? You need that as a type of salvation. I'm not saying Adam and Eve was saved like you and I are. As a type of salvation. But then notice this next to the last thing. I think. Look at verse number 7. And they brought the colt to Jesus and cast their garments on him. And he sat upon him. And the wild colt bucked and kicked and threw him off. Is that what it says? You ever notice it? When Jesus got on, hey, how many of you ever tried to ride a wild colt's ass that had never been ridden before by a man? I mean, a wild horse is bad enough, right? But you know what? When Jesus sat upon him, he was calm, he was tame, and he rode him right in Jerusalem. You know what salvation brings about? It brings about a change. It brings about something different on the inside. You say, what is it? It breaks you. And it makes you meet for the Master's use. You know what? Jesus rode in on the colt, the foal of that one. That was, hey, how would you like to be the colt that carried the king? I mean, he went from being a wild ass one moment to the king's chosen beast. Say, why? Because somebody loosed him. Somebody brought him to Jesus. And they put some new garments on him. And he let Jesus sit on top of him and ride him right into Jerusalem. You see, that's the colt, the foal of an ass. That's a beautiful picture in the Bible of salvation. You know, what does Romans 12 say? I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice unto Jesus, holy, acceptable, right? Which is your reasonable service. Hey, once broken, a horse don't mind to be ridden around all day. Matter of fact, once he's ridden, once he's broken, and he knows his job, he enjoys doing it, right? That's the thing. You say, but what, are you sure about this? Yeah. Now the last thing I want to show you. There's a unique thing found in the Old Testament. You say, all this was good enough. But let me show you something. You say, preacher, what happens if I refuse to be broken? What happens if I refuse to be ridden? What happens if I do not accept the Lord Jesus Christ? Well, let's look at what the Bible said in the Old Testament in regard to an ass. Take your Bibles. Last thing we're going to look at. Look in Exodus chapter number 13. Exodus chapter number 13. Now, in Exodus 13, God has given He's given a part of the law, but now it gets changed a little bit because the priesthood does something different here. God accepts the tribe of Levi instead. But look at verse number 2. Sanctify unto me all the firstborn. Whatsoever openeth the womb among the children of Israel, both of man and of beast, it is mine. You know what God said under the law? He said, hey, the firstborn is mine. Now, look down there at verse 30. Now, it says both man and beast. But you know one beast it names in particular? An ass. You say, why? Because man is born like a wild ass's colt. Look at verse number 13. Now, you folks that like numbers in the Bible, notice this is Exodus 13:13. And every firstling of an ass thou shalt redeem with what? A lamb. You know how you redeem the lamb, the ass in the Old Testament? Hey, it had to be with a lamb. If you and I are born like a wild colt's ass, you know how we're going to get redeemed? By the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world. Because the firstling of an ass shalt thou redeem with a lamb. But look at something. And if thou wilt not redeem it, then thou shalt what? Break its neck. Say, well, why couldn't you just kill it? Why did you have to break its neck? Turn to Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy 21. You said that was the last thing he's going to show us. Well, yeah, but it's two verses in the last thing I'm going to show you. They're connected. Say, well, how many else connected? Oh, about four or five. No, I'm just kidding. Look in Deuteronomy 21. Now, look over there in verse number 22. Deuteronomy 21, 22. And if a man have committed a sin worthy of death, and he be put to death, and thou hang him on a tree. Let me ask you something. When a man was hanged, you know, and you know, you folks are from Texas, y'all don't know to understand that. I understand this old courthouse down here, they used to do hangings in it, right? You know, when you hang a man, how do you kill him? You break his neck. Isn't that how that ass was to be redeemed? If you don't redeem him, wasn't his neck to be broken? Say, why? Because he's no good if he ain't redeemed. And you break his neck and do away with him. You know, isn't that funny? Take a man that's holding by the cords of his sin, and he runs too far, and you snatch that cord, you what? He break his neck. Notice here. Bible says, verse 23, his body shall not remain all night upon the tree, but thou shalt in any wise bury him that day. Why? For he that is hanged is accursed of God, that the land be not defiled, which the Lord thy God giveth thee. He that is hanged is accursed of God. You know what the Bible says? You can flip over there if you want to. If not, I'm going to read it for you. But in Galatians chapter number 3, by the way, verse 13, say it's a coincidence? No, not with Bible numbers. You know what the Bible says in Galatians 3:13? Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law. Why? For it is written, cursed is every one that hangeth on a tree. You know what? The Bible may say you're a wild colt's ass, or a wild ass's colt. I'll get it right in a minute. You may be tied with the cords of your sin. You may be standing by the door. You may be in a place where two ways met. There may be somebody that's fought hard for many years to loose you. But you know what? The way you redeem the firstling of an ass is by a lamb. And the Lord Jesus Christ, as the Lamb of God, He came and He died and He was hung on a tree. See, I know His neck wasn't broken. I know that. Not a bone of Him was broken. Why? Because the lamb, you didn't break the bones. But He was hung on a tree. Why? Because the Bible said, cursed is everyone that hangeth upon a tree. Now, you say, what is the connection there? It's very simple. Either you are going to be redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, or you're going to be a wild ass that's never been redeemed, and your neck will be broken. Why? Cursed is everyone that hangeth upon a tree. You will either accept the sacrifice of what Jesus Christ did for you on Calvary, or you will bear your own sins and spend an eternity in hell. That's the two ways meet. That's the two choices. You say, why? Because the Bible puts it very plainly. See, that's what I love about the Bible. You know what? Man complicates everything. And I tend to be an overcomplicator. You say, why? Because I was trained as an engineer. And that's what they're famous for. Make everything simple, complicated. You say, why? Because there's money in that. Right? You know what man's done? Man said there's money in religion, so I'm going to make it complicated. The Bible says it's pretty simple. It says you're an ass. And you need to be ridden. And the Lord Jesus Christ is the only man that can do that. And until He's ridden you, guess what? You're forever unbroken. And you know what? Until you're redeemed by the Lamb, you're of no use and of no value. Cursed is everyone that hangeth upon a tree. And the only way to be out from under that curse is through the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Say, boy, that's simple, ain't it? Yeah, that's why man don't like it. Say, why? Because if it ain't complicated, I can't find a loophole in it. You ever read the law? See, why do lawyers make the money they do? Read the law. Get you a law book and read it. Well, that's fun reading. Cure insomnia real quick. But you know what? Man complicates things. God's way is simple. I am the door of the sheep. I am the door. I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. He that cometh unto the Father, or he that cometh unto the Father, he that cometh unto... No man there. Thank you. No man cometh unto the Father, but by me. Every head bowed, every eye closed. As they come this morning, we'll have a few verses of a hymn of invitation. God spoke to your heart this morning. Maybe you're lost and you know it. You saw a plain picture in the Bible. You need to be redeemed by the Lamb, because that's the only way. Say, how do I do that, preacher? Well, you can either come down here when we have this invitation. We have several men, several ladies. If it's a lady, we have people that will go back in the back, show you the scriptures. It's not a pressure thing, or we're not going to talk you into anything, but you're going to be shown the two ways. And you'll make a simple choice of which way you would like to go. If you don't want to walk down this aisle, you can catch me after the service, or Brother Randy, you find somebody. But before you leave here today, you better be careful. If you're standing in a place where two ways meet, you have no idea what's coming down that road. And you say, well, I want to wait a little while. Better not wait too long. You might be forced into one of those directions that you don't want to go. But whatever God's spoken to your heart about, you ought to make sure you get it dealt with before you leave here today. God, we thank you for the day. We thank you not only that Jesus Christ, as King of the Jews, rode in upon the colt, the foal of an ass. But Lord God, in that scenario that you show a picture of a lost man, an unridden colt, Lord God, that simply needs to be ridden by you. Lord God, I pray that you might have your way in this invitation, and you might speak to hearts, and you might help them to see these truths that's been laid out, Lord God, in a simple and easy format, Lord God. And if there's somebody here that's just maybe still confused or don't fully grasp the concept of what was given, Lord, help them to have courage to ask. Help them to want to see a better or a simpler explanation from your word. And Lord God, we'll be careful to show that to them, that they know that they're saved without leaving this building here today. And Lord God, for that saved person, help them to realize that, Lord God, if they're saved, that they need to let you be the one in control. They need to let you be the one having the reins and guiding them into the place that you have for them. And Lord God, we thank you for these things. May you have your way in this invitation. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.